Good morning, and welcome to Center this morning. Let's begin our worship by turning to hymn number 695, My Country Tis of Thee. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather here today to worship you. We ask, Lord, that you open our minds and our hearts and our ears to what's said. We thank you, Lord, for this meeting, for this country. We thank you for all of the blessings, many we don't deserve, but we thank you. We ask, Lord, that you continue to bless us. And our country. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Hope you're doing well today. Hope you stay cool this week. I'm decided that I'm staying cool today by wearing short sleeves, so... I think there's a rule, like in schools, if it's above 90 degrees or something, they get to go home early. Or if it's above 90 degrees, I'll be wearing short sleeves. That's my new policy. We are glad that you're here. We know that there are lots of our folks who are either vacationing last week or have left for vacation this week, the 4th of July week. So we certainly are glad that you're here today and that we're all gathered together for worship. I encourage you to look through your bulletin and make note of all the announcements. Certainly we remember that this Wednesday is 4th of July, and it's the occasion when we celebrate our independence. So I encourage us all to, on that day, to give thanks to God for our country, for our freedoms, and for our liberty. I encourage you to do that. Also, want to let folks know that today at 4 o'clock at Concord Meeting is a called quarterly meeting gathering for the sole purpose of approving the recommendation of Tommy Sluter to go under the care of the yearly meeting recording committee. So I encourage your, that time is correct, 4 o'clock today at Concord Friends. So quarterly meeting, called meeting. So I encourage you to take part in that if you can this afternoon. I also was asked to announce that some kind person has placed some fresh vegetables in the fellowship hall foyer. So if you want to stop by there and pick some of those up, you're encouraged to do so. I didn't get a look, so I can't tell you exactly what's in there, but I encourage you to stop by there and take a few of those fresh vegetables. Are there any other announcements that need to be made this morning? If not, if our ushers will come forward, we will receive our morning offerings. Shall we pray together? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We know that it's hot and warm, but we also know that that we enjoy and appreciate the sunshine and the beauty of your creation. Lord, we pray this week for, as we celebrate the 4th of July, that we will pause and we will remember and we will give thanks for the many blessings that we as Americans receive and experience each and every day. We thank you for our freedom. We thank you for our liberty, for the ability to worship where and how we want. We are thankful and grateful for this country, for all who've given sacrifice for that those freedoms. So we pray that you continue to bless this country, to continue to help us to be, or help us to see your will and your work, and help us as a nation to do your will. Lord, we thank you for our gifts as individuals, and just pray that your blessings continue in our lives, and we just pray that you help us to be good stewards of everything that we have received, all the blessings that we receive. Help us to be faithful of the time and talent and treasures that you've entrusted to us. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
days at the beach. Gone on a trip. I'm glad you're here. Two weekends ago, we went to see the college where our granddaughter Anna is going to be playing ball and attending this fall. On Sunday morning, we decided instead of going back the way we came, that we would go over the mountains from the college in Virginia to Boone, where our grandson goes to school, and to see what that road was like over to Boone. Well, it was a curvy, winding, lonely mountain road. Very narrow. It had one one-lane bridge. It was a tiny little bridge, and we met a camper, a really big camper, and we didn't know how we were going to get across that, how he was going to get across that bridge. And mostly it was forest after forest and a few farms here and there and one tiny little town early in our trip. Finally, we came to a spot on top of a mountain. I'll show you. I think I took a picture. It may not be quite that spot, but while we were traveling out to Carmen, I'll show you if I can get it. Yeah, there we go. See? Tiny, it's just one little two-lane road. See all those trees? Just trees and trees and mountains. And everywhere on top of this mountain were more mountains. And more mountains in every direction. It was just mountains and mountains and mountains. You want to see? See that mountain right there? There's mountains in every direction. Everywhere I turned, there was a mountain. But you want to see a mountain right there? See it? Wow, I know. That's what I said. It was beautiful, Gabe. It was gorgeous. But I had no idea where we were. I asked Neil, are we in Virginia? Are we in North Carolina? Are we in Tennessee? Where are we? Well, Neil didn't know either. We knew we weren't lost because we were following the road to Boone that the map said we should go. But we didn't know exactly where we were. So I decided, I pulled out my phone and I decided I would ask that magic voice on the phone who knows all the answers. I decided I would ask that voice where we were. So I said, where are we? Silence. I asked again, where are we? Silence. I figured out we had no signal. So I still didn't know where I was. We just had to keep on going, but that was a really good lesson for me. No matter where we are, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus tells his followers, and we're followers of Jesus too. Jesus tells his followers, and I tell you this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always, he told his followers. So it didn't matter. As we travel through life, if we go north, south, east, west, no matter where we go, whether it's Anna going to school in Virginia or George and Jane going to Toronto?
Yep.
With Wyatt up in Canada or one of the counselors, Meredith Roney at Quaker Lake, who's working in Portland this summer in an internship, or Addie Ward, who spent a month in Italy this summer, going to school. No matter where we are, Jesus is always there with us. That is one thing we can count on. We know where we're going because our map is our Bible. And Jesus is our constant companion. He is with us no matter wherever we go. Can we say a prayer? Dear God, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the country that we live in, for the opportunities that we share together. Most of all, we thank you for knowing in the Bible, our guide to follow, that you are with us no matter where we are or what we are doing. Be with us this week. Help us to return next Sunday. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Susie, I know exactly where you were. Place I call the middle of nowhere. Susie was in the middle of nowhere. I've been there often. So, in fact, that road looked familiar with your picture. So.
Oh, that is a free road.
At this time, we'll enter into a time of prayer for one another. Are there prayer concerns you would like to share this morning?
Terry, I added Lila Dillon White and family. I guess I could say as old-timers, remember Lila and Dillon, as the, she's the oldest daughter of Doris Dillon. Her husband died on Wednesday of this week, and she's currently staying for a little while with Josh and Tammy. If you'd like to drop her a card at their house.
Okay.
And she would appreciate it.
And that's Lila Dillon?
Lila Dillon White.
Lila Dillon White.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Martha Jo. Others? Certainly, let's be in prayer for those that are traveling this week, and just pray for safe travels for all of those. I also want to let you know that Ann Heiss passed away yesterday afternoon. She had gone to Beacon Place to hospice. First part of the week, and so just be in prayer for the Heiss family, for Richard, and the entire family in Ann's passing. Also encourage us to continue to be in prayer for Quaker Lake. They continue to do a tremendous ministry there, and if you've been hot where you are, I'm sure they've been very hot, so. So be in prayer for them with maybe a little break in the weather and just continued success as they continue to minister there at Quaker Lake. I think this year and this week is senior high week, if I'm not mistaken. I guess Will's there this week, correct? So, okay, let's be in prayer for Quaker Lake. Are there others?
Terry, I have a joy.
Okay.
We made it to Toronto and back safely. there was one family that had an accident in Pennsylvania that was with our group, but wasn't, her van wasn't hurt too bad, but the ones behind them were totaled. But anyway, We had a great time, and I was just so thrilled for Wyatt and the whole team to experience that. The demo team did an awesome job at the opening ceremony. They were as in sync as if they had been the Rockettes. I mean, they moved just in sync, and as a grandmother, I got very choked up. he did win one medal. There was some tough competition, but we were very thrilled that he and we got the experience.
That's great. Thank you, Jane. Others? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Loving and gracious God, we come to you this morning asking for prayer for a variety of things, for individuals who are dealing with grief and loss, for ongoing ministries, for safe travels. We are grateful and thankful for Jane and her family's safe return from Toronto, and just are grateful for the trip and the experience that they had there with Wyatt, and just grateful for his participation. And we also remember so many in our congregation who are traveling back maybe today from vacations last week, or who've headed out and will be traveling over the 4th of July week, and we just pray for traveling mercies and safety for all of those who will be on the road, not just in this congregation, but for all who will be traveling the roads over this holiday week. We ask your blessings and your pray for their safe return to us. We continue to remember the ministry of Quaker Lake, and we just are grateful for their leadership, for Heather and Christian, and for all who give of so much of their energy and time for that ongoing work, a work that is longstanding and that many of us are very connected to and care about very deeply. So we just can pray for their continued effective ministry there at Quaker Lake. Pray for the leaders, for the counselors, for all of those who are enduring some very warm and hot days, but do it all for you and for their love for you and desire to make a difference in the lives of these children and youth. We remember Lila Dillon White and just pray for her, the passing of her husband, pray for her entire family and their loss, and just pray for your blessings to them, your peace and your comfort and your healing in the midst of that pain and loss. We remember the family of Ann Heiss. We remember Richard and Heather and her family, and Eric and Sharon, the grandchildren, just that entire family, Lord. We just pray that you would hold them up and give them strength and comfort in this difficult time, that you would bring them peace, that you would help them to recognize and see your love and your grace in the midst of that situation. We pray for unity and strength, and pray that together they may grow stronger and see and feel your presence. Lord, we know that there are requests that have not been mentioned, or requests that go unnamed, and we know that our prayer list in our bulletin is extensive for people that we pray for on an ongoing basis, and we just pray your continued blessings to all of those individuals this morning. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Oh, Lord, you have just changed the way.
Scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 10. We found on page 1666 in your pew Bibles. John 10. Our bulletin, the information that I gave Martha Jo said for verses 7 through 9. I decided yesterday to read, I actually want to read the fuller context of that, so I'll be reading John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. John 10, 1 through 10. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly." I am the gate. Some translations, if you read that passage, it actually uses the word door. I am the door. So as you think about gates or doors, have you given much thought to how many doors you might walk through in the course of any given day? You probably walked through several doors inside your home this morning, only to walk out your door, to go to your car and open your car door. Then you entered this meeting room this morning through two sets of doors. If you came to Sunday school, you came another direction, and you probably entered through several other doors. I counted the other day when I was thinking about this, the number of doors in our house. If you count upstairs where my wife and I live and downstairs where my wife's mother, Linda, lives, I counted 31 doors. 31 doors that we go in and out of throughout the course of a day. Five of those are exterior doors. As I was counting those doors, I was remembering a little over 10 years ago when we were completely renovating that house, and we replaced all of those interior and exterior doors, and I started to break out into a bit of a cold sweat, remembering how much that cost, and hoping I wouldn't have to do it again for a very long time. But have you ever given any thought to what a door actually does? We're used to them being there. We're so used to opening them and with a turn of the key or a turn of the knob. But doors are pretty important and vital to our current and comfortable way of life. You see, doors keep things out, things that we don't want inside with us. Imagine your home without a door, without an entry door, just an opening. You might wake up in the morning with squirrels or other varmints rummaging around your kitchen. You might have a neighborhood dog going through your garbage can. Your house might be infested with mosquitoes. If your home didn't have a door, it would be vulnerable to thieves and criminals when you were away. And doors keep out the weather and allow us to change the temperature and the humidity inside our homes. We have two dogs, and we have a fenced-in backyard, and they love to go in and out and in and out of our back door to go out into the yard. And sometimes I get a little frustrated, and if I'm in the kitchen, I may just leave the door propped open for a little while. And it's amazing when I do that, I realize I can just feel the heat coming in from the outside. And so I quickly closed the door because, as Mom often said, you don't want to air condition the whole outside. Doors keep out the wind and the rain, the cold and the heat. Doors are vital in preserving our way of life, our comfort, because they keep things outside that don't belong inside. But doors don't just keep things out. In fact, they perform another function that's altogether contrary to keeping things out. Doors let things in, and they let people in. Think about it this way. What would your house be without a door? It would be a box. A box with no way in and no way out. Without doors, we wouldn't be able to welcome friends and family into our homes. We would be unable to invite guests into the sanctuary for worship. Without doors, we would be unable to come and go as we please. So I suppose, in a way, doors provide us with a certain level of freedom as to allow us to keep things out that don't belong in, and to let things in or people in that we want to welcome. The beautiful image of in our Christian faith is this concept of Jesus standing at the door and knocking and wanting to come into our lives, into our hearts. That image of the door is important in our faith. You see, doors are simultaneously tools of exclusion and of inclusion. And that function sometimes can be a little contradictory. But it's that same contradictory identity that I often struggle with when it comes to the Christian faith. Faith is simultaneously exclusive and inclusive. It's that simultaneous exclusion and inclusion that led many of Jesus' conflicts with the religious leaders of the day. Those people that believed they had the answers, and they understood, in their case, the Jewish traditions and the Jewish faith. And Jesus often was standing against them, saying, "No, you don't really understand. You think you're in, you think you understand, but you haven't really grasped the concept of grace and mercy and peace and love. If you were to read the chapter prior to the chapter that I read this morning, the 9th chapter of John, we hear how Jesus healed a man who was born blind from birth, a man who would have been excluded from the normal circles of society due to his infirmity, which they believed must have been caused by his parents' sin. As if Jesus' healing of this man was not enough to catch their attention and the attention of everyone else who was around that day, it just so happened that it was on the Sabbath. And one didn't go around healing folks on the Sabbath, at least as the religious leaders of that day believed. They believed it was forbidden by their law. So after the Pharisees catch wind of what Jesus did, they drove the man who had been blind away, who had been born blind away, the man that Jesus healed. And Jesus found him, and after a brief conversation with him, Jesus turned his attention to the Pharisees and to their spiritual blindness at the end of chapter 9. So it's after that exchange with the Pharisees that Jesus spoke the words that we have here today. "I am the gate. I am the door." Now, I can understand if some of the imagery Jesus used in that day might be lost on us. After all, he's using this imagery of shepherds and sheep, and there aren't many of us here that are shepherds, at least not in the Near Eastern tradition. But Jesus spoke with words and images that had meaning to those that were gathered around him to hear. So in verses 1 through 5, we get a glimpse into the way of life for a shepherd in ancient Judea. As Jesus' words tell about thieves and bandits, which were serious threats to the shepherds in that time. And he talked about gates. And the ways in which the sheep could discern the voice of the shepherd over the voice of strangers. You see, in that time, there were typically communal, in villages, there might be a communal area where sheep were kept, and there might be separate flocks of sheep. And the shepherd might come into that gate, come through that gate, and call the name or use his voice to summon his sheep, and those sheep would recognize his voice and come to him. Often they would take those sheep out into the countryside, and they would gather in an area that might just be an area where they would pile up some rocks or some brush and create kind of a makeshift pen. And typically the shepherd, there wouldn't be a gate, so the shepherd would lie down or sleep or rest in that opening. So the shepherd himself became the gate. The shepherd himself became that instrument by which he kept out, he kept his sheep safe. Flocks would graze together in the same pasture. But when it was time for a flock to move on, the shepherd and that flock would call his sheep. And the sheep knew to follow their shepherd. He references again those thieves in verses 8 and 10. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Those who would steal sheep from a flock had no real interest in caring for them, only for selling them or killing them, only for their selfish intentions. So Jesus here attempts to make another shift at the nature of those Pharisees and other religious leaders who opposed him, that they had no genuine concern for the spiritual condition of the people, only concern for a strict adherence to their list of rules and regulations, and to their own authority and power. The words in this passage, however, that catch our attention today are found in verses 7 and 9. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. Now, I'm working my way this summer through those I am statements in the Gospel of John. And this is the third such statement. Those I am statements make reference to those that Old Testament understanding of the great I am. That God is the great I am. I am the gate. Or as it says in other translations, I am the door. It was not uncommon in that time and in Jewish culture to think of the entrance to heaven as a gate. So perhaps in using such a word, especially to describe himself, Jesus conjured up all kinds of images and emotions in those who heard his claim. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved. The Beatles in, I think, 1970 had a number one hit. Now, I don't often quote lyrics from Beatles songs in my sermon, but this one I wanted to just read a short passage of. The song was called The Long and Winding Road. And so I was thinking about that when Susie was talking about that long and winding road that she was on. And the first part of the chorus says, the long and winding road that leads to your door will never disappear. I've seen that road before. It always leads me here, led me to your door. And Jesus said, I am the gate, or I am the door. Whoever enters by me will be saved. In other words, Jesus is the door at the end of that long and winding road. He never leaves you standing there. Even when that long and winding road is harder than you could ever have imagined, when the thorns of life really begin to scratch you up, even when you're more thirsty on the inside than you ever thought possible, where the good news of the gospel is that Jesus, the gate, was himself scratched with thorns and suffered unimaginable thirst and gave his life on the cross for all of his sheep, including you, including me. Isaiah writes that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. And because of Jesus' work on the cross for us, we have forgiveness. And that door is open for us, that we may come and find rest and find pasture. We are completely loved and forgiven. So at the end of our long and winding road, we will arrive at the door, and Jesus himself, the gate, the light of the world, the bread of life, who loves you unconditionally, welcomes you in. And we will clearly hear the life-giving voice of Jesus. And we will realize that somehow it is the voice that you recognize, the voice of the one who is your friend and not a stranger. You see, Jesus is the door that leads to fulfillment. Doors indicate a movement in our lives. Doors lead us somewhere. Where does Jesus lead us? Jesus leads us to the Father. Jesus leads us to that abundant life that he described. Jesus leads us to what is real in this life and to eternal life. Jesus leads us to a greater and far better life than we could ever dream or imagine. Only when we live with Christ does life truly become worth living. I told you about the 30 or so doors I have in my house. I also have a big fenced-in backyard, and I think four gates on that fence. That's about 10 years old. And the thing I've noticed about my gates is my gates tend to, over time, begin to sag a little bit, and the weight makes them a little hard to close sometime, and they get a little cantankerous. But we know that Jesus, the gate, Jesus, the door, is always available to us and always exactly what we need, no matter what the situation. That door is always faithful and just and true.
Let's conclude our worship this morning by turning to hymn number 686, Christ for the World We Sing, and we're going to do verses 1 and 4.
God, indeed, for Christ, we sing. We pray that as we go from here, that we will continue to recognize that that Christ is the door. And through that door, we have life, and we have it abundantly. Help us to walk through that door. Help us to lead others through that door. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.